Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. The title of this broadcast is World Watchers. It's tape number or broadcast number 712, July the 29th, 1985. World Watchers is played in the Bay Area from it comes down here by way of Cupertino, KKUP, but it's also played on KFJC. On those two stations, twice a week, David Emery puts those on and has for the past years. And in addition, he has his own broadcast, One Step Beyond, with Nip Tuck. That's 3 hours a week. And then they have a marvelous series called Radio Free America. And I'm going to begin talking about that next week and telling you where you can get tapes of these particular broadcasts and what Radio Free America is. Now, the listening audience of World Watchers up in the northern part of California, not too far from here, carries to Berkeley and to the San Francisco area. And people who are interested in these kinds of subjects that we talk about also play the radio to KPFA Pacifica. And there's quite a difference between the kind of material we carry and the attitudes of the people at the two radio stations. David Emery and Nip Tuck get calls frequently about the difference of the material and why they're not carrying the information we are carrying. But Nip and David are not as familiar with Pacifica as I am because I've been on the air 14 years, and WBAI New York, a Pacifica station, carried World Watchers for 3 years, and then Bob Fast was fired and May was taken off the air. A political gesture, and I will go into at great length, in 3 or 4 weeks, the Pacifica Radio, how it was formed, what's behind the conflicts, and do an analysis just as I would of Mark Lane or Simon Wiesenthal, and explain Pacifica Radio. They're Los Angeles KPFK, Bay Area KPFA, WBAI in New York. I don't have any contact or relationship with the Houston stations or Washington, but that's because these three don't allow Mae Brussel on Pacifica. And so to answer your questions about it and give you a little information of my experiences with people like Larry Bensky, or referring to the call that Sarah Diamond made last week or 2 weeks ago up to KFJC, I will address myself to what I think is going on there based upon 20 years of research and also experience directly with that station. And also they're getting a lot of calls on the talk show about Fritz Kramer. It is a very confusing subject I've been talking about on the air for 3 years. I will continue to do that and maybe do just one whole hour on the importance of Fritz Kramer. I think he is the most important man in the United States today or in the world. And keep in mind his offices he shares with Daniel Graham, a former general of the Defense Intelligence Agency, who is pushing the high frontier, the Star Wars, the next place to arm and make war from. And Kramer is the mentor of Alexander Haig and Henry Kissinger, and every event in the news can be directly related back to this team and the people they work with, affecting the tragedy of world fascism as it's galloping along now. It was kind of just taking off the ground slowly, and now you read the world events and you know what's happening. So I'll talk more about Fritz Kramer and Pacifica Radio very soon, but there's so much important news. Not that that isn't important. But I'll get back to that at great length. 1 or 2 or 3 weeks from now, I'm not sure. But I will cover that. And keep your curiosity up and listen to Pacifica and listen to KFJC and KKUP. Turn on Pacifica News. Make a list of the news. Monitor it like AIM is doing, you know, of the news media. The conservatives monitor radio stations and people and have a good thing going. They're going to monitor college classrooms now. So why don't you people who don't like fascism and don't like what's happening, monitor the two stations and see the difference in the news, and then it won't take you long to figure out what's going on. Now on to some very, very important stories. Number one on Joseph Mengele. I mentioned a few weeks ago that Romeo Tuma went to Germany with several teeth and some bones and a couple of hairs from a man that he was 99 9/10 sure at the time, June 22nd, was Joseph Mengele. He's the chief investigator for São Paulo, Brazil, 21 years with the police, the death squads, the terror intelligence operations down in São Paulo that work with our CIA and Defense Department. So he took these bones, to a few of them, to Germany, and said that his investigation that ended June 22nd was, in quotes, a preliminary. Now, just this past week, the Houston Post, several weeks ago, July the 10th, 1985, has a small item that West German experts are examining the remains of a body ruled to be Nazi criminal Joseph Mengele, but they don't expect their investigation to be concluded before early September. That's according to Hans Eberhard Klein, the Frankfurt public prosecutor, who told reporters that he wouldn't know till September. Now, that's quite a different story, don't you think, than saying they knew for sure when two articles have been released that they're putting it off now till September. Yet the name of Mengele is referred to in the past tense, and the media has conveniently buried him. Oh, pardon me, hit the mic there. Another article out of the Washington Times about this case, July 19th, 1985, is about Professor Ellis Curley, K-E-R-L-E-Y, from the University of Maryland. I mentioned him several weeks ago. I was suspicious of him because, according to articles and interviews with him, before anyone even dreamed or knew that Joseph Mengele was dead, except for the CIA, who, according to Jack Anderson, was going to pull this as early as November 84, he said the CIA was going to say he was buried, but he isn't. Mr. Curley was months before, early in the year, the first of the year in 1985, comparing heads and skulls that turned out, in fact, to be the size and shape of Mengele, so that the Justice Department, the CIA, were going to use him, and they shipped him to São Paulo, Brazil. Now, after his confirmation that that was absolutely Mengele, there's an article, Mengele team called in to move deaths. This is an article about the three people who went from the Justice Department of the United States to identify Mengele and said that was him. And one is Mr. Curley. One is Ali Z. Hameli, the chief medical examiner of Delaware, who went to Brazil and is now going to Philadelphia. And the other is Lowell L. Levine, a New York forensic dental expert, not having the teeth of Joseph Mengele at all. And it said that Levine was an expert in the crash of the DC airplane in Chicago in 1979, another air crash that I was very suspicious of. I won't detail it now, though. Why were these men sent to Philadelphia, these three men? According to the Washington Times, although authorities believe 11 people died when the MOVE organization was bombed, the house was bombed, there may have been more. Now, trying to find how many in the house wouldn't be too difficult because there must be some surviving parents in the United States or cousins or brothers or sisters who would know where members of their family were. And also survivors are outside the house. There were several that got outside the house. But they brought this team, the Mengele team now has moved to Philadelphia. And this is their specific assignment. It's to tell how many people died. This is the quote. How many there were, where they died, and what they died from. Mr. Warren, the man who brought them there, said they are trying to reconstruct a war with several hundred participants. It's a tough job. Can you believe that? That the federal government is spending money to find out which rooms they were and what they died from when the bomb was made from DuPont and Delaware and sent up there and dropped on their heads. Now, this was a case of war against America, testing, dropping bombs on people, just as the SLA was a CIA operation and the SWAT team were inaugurated with what I call the barbecue at the dinner hour, where six were killed in the fire while everybody watched. That was an overt act of war against citizens in the United States, and to escalate it one step further, and I haven't done much on the MOVE organization because of so many other pressing news events, this is shocking. Then the article goes on to say that Mr. Curley was sent after President Kennedy's assassination to determine if another body had been substituted for the president. He said he studied photographs and x-rays and concluded that was John Kennedy. There were some people who thought the president was off somewhere in a hospital, a vegetable. He identified 3,000 more veterans from the Korean War. So since 1950, Mr. Curley has worked for the United States government. He has worked in the Kennedy case, and I'm sure it wasn't just that matter. I know that at the time of the conspiracy conference in Boston in 1975, Dick Gregory arrived to give the wonderful speech and or idea that John Kennedy was still in the basement of Parkland Hospital. So Mr. Curley didn't have to examine x-rays, but he had some other part, and goodness knows what could happen to those x-rays when these people are working with the x-rays and pictures of the late John Kennedy. And the House Select Committee is going to open up the assassination investigation again, which is run by Dr. Biden from New York of the CIA. And this Dr. Levine comes from New York as the expert on the teeth. So now they've been sent in to the MOVE movement. Well, these three men can do a ballet to any case they want in the United States. It's like the psychiatrist, Dr. Marks, Dr. Irvin, Dr. Sweet from Boston, and Dr. Jolly West from California, all working as a team. And every tragedy we have, one or three of these men come in. Now, the Jewish newspaper, The Heritage, had a quotation of Dr. Ellis R. Curley. A Jewish paper, of course, has to consider him an expert. I don't know why. This is July 5th. Mengele probably died in agony, scientist says. And it quotes from College Park, Maryland, that Dr. Curley said, in quotes, "I don't know what court of justice would humanely impose upon anyone a sentence that would be worse than the discomfort and bitterness that he complained of in his final years, including drowning over a period of several minutes." Now, Curley doesn't know a thing that was in Mengele's head, and he's assuring the Jews psychologically in the press release, I guess, to go to Jewish papers around the country, if you saw your child thrown in the fire and burned alive, if you saw these tortures at Auschwitz, if you're one of the twins that was experimented on, a victim of Mengele, relax now, because his suffering equaled your suffering, because there's nothing worse than the bitterness he had and the way he died, and nothing could equal this. It's equal to the courts of justice. I doubt that, and I doubt that Mengele is dead, and this man travels around and comforts those people that, in quotes, would want vengeance. Like, look, you can relax now. You suffered, he suffered. Get off our case. Now, unrelated to that and part of the Mengele story was a story in the New York Times, July 24th, 1985, about the murder of 10 Credo Neves in Brazil. I want to share this with you. Brazilians debate the doctor's role in the death of Neves. Rio de Janeiro, 3 months after the funeral of Brazil's president-elect, Tancredo Neves, his family renewed the debate over whether mistakes at two different medical teams contributed to the bacterial blood infection that killed him. There are rumors of mismanaged, poorly executed surgery, squabbles among the doctors, 7 operations, 38 days in a hospital. He had 2 operations in Brasilia. Then he was moved into São Paulo, Brazil, which is where the Mengele body would be exhumed, where Romeo Tumo is that chief of the police down there, running and reappointed by Mr. Sarney, the vice president who became the president when Neves was murdered. The new vice president, who was 20 years with a military dictatorship, ran as vice president, and then he reappointed Romeo Tumo after the president had died. The article goes on, the president-elect's brother and his son said that that Tancredo was a victim of incompetence and the vanity of the doctors. There are 2 long articles on this subject in the newspaper that say that he might have contracted a planned infection. This is in the papers in Brazil, and that the infections were purposely overlooked. And it goes on to say that once he was declared dead in São Paulo, the controversy seemed to be forgotten. Well, those of you know that Mae Brussel and World Watchers are probably the only broadcasting station, along with Dave and Amory and Nip Tuck up in the Bay Area, who have continued the idea that Mr. Neves was murdered. There was an article in London asking for an open examination, and another in Brazil saying he was shot. But for all purposes, you can correct me if I'm wrong. What news media have you heard that have suggested the outrageous political implications and the murder of this gentleman? And the article goes on, the family's testimonies were given and later repeated before a news conference to throw new light on the confused event that began with his sudden hospitalization. You know, I call that the dinner with the Archbishop. On the night of March 14th, hours before he was scheduled to take office as Brazil's first civilian president in 21 years. Now, around March 14th is when Mr. Roeder got a letter in the jail in Germany that uncle is dead, overlaying these dates and not wanting to jump around too much, Manfred Roeder. The article goes on, he said that just before surgery, the chief surgeon ran home to get his glasses and that Neves was taken to the wrong surgery room. They almost ripped off a finger, taking his wedding ring off. The son said 40 people stood in the operating room, including politicians and relatives crowded in there, doctors, politicians, and relatives. There was a question whether they removed a diverticula or whether it was a malignant tumor. 6 days later, new surgery was needed, and the rest is history. The family now says he was placed in a dressing gown and taken to a part of the hospital after the first or second surgery where photographs were taken, and he didn't want these pictures. They did it against his will. And he complained something ruptured in himself in here. A few hours later, it took a few hours after they had his portrait, I guess, done, he was found to be suffering from internal bleeding and rushed to another hospital in San Paulo for more surgery. What a mess they made of me in Brasilia, he said. But after that, the rest is history, and he died. Now, part of the history going on in Brazil at this time is the debt of Brazil and the intermonetary fund that the newly elected president of Peru said, I won't go along with. I'm not going to starve my people. That was as of July 29th, just this morning. But there have been articles in the newspaper on the monetary problems of Brazil. And one story I have here is that Brazilian labor leaders were promised by Sarney, the new president, after Neves died, that they would help from the onslaught of the intermonetary fund that is causing the austerity there. And Mr. Sarney, the vice president who took over after Neves was murdered, called in Henry Kissinger to make sure that Brazil doesn't break their pledge to the intermonetary fund. Last week, the Brazilian press revealed that Finance Minister Francisco Dornelles, D-O-R-N-E-L-L-E-S, had contracted the services of William Rogers, an executive of Arnold & Porter law firm, as well as Kissinger Associates, to give legal advice on Brazil's negotiations with Wall Street bankers. Now, Mr. Dornelles, just prior to the president-elect's murder, was to prosecute a Mr. Garnero, I mentioned on past broadcasts, and he was the man who was going into the financial flight capital and the loans given to people like William Simon, a Knight of Malta, to George Shultz, and ties to the highest echelon of our government and the Vatican that have strangled Brazil's economy. So as soon as Sarney was in, he has called in the office of Mr. Rogers, William D. Rogers, and also Henry Kissinger Associates. Remember when Congressman Henry Gonzalez said that he asked in Congress in about September 83, is Henry Kissinger a hired gun, and is the State Department leased to Henry Kissinger and asked for the clients? Now Sarney has given Brazil to Kissinger Associates. Then this article I have said that last year Venezuela signed a similar contract with Arnold and Porter to raise their standard of living to the point of eroding such diseases as AIDS and the flu, the malaria that is now sweeping these countries, Venezuela and Brazil. The disease surfacing Brazil can no longer be counted. They're taking away the AIDS right now, but they're a frightening epidemic of deadly yellow fever. And you may have been reading about that, where 26 million in San Paulo are threatened with epidemic. The country now has absolutely nothing to eat. They export all of their food to pay for their economic debt to the International Monetary Fund. And it's about 10 million tons of food are exported. So that the food is leaving Brazil, the people are starving, and they're even threatening diseases like AIDS or malaria. Like, we can cure the diseases if you send us the money. Otherwise, you'll face these frightening diseases. Think of the implications. And Mr. Sarney now working, and always has, of course, with Kissinger Associates. Now, just one quick second about the law firm of Arnold and Porter that has been sent to represent the Brazilian crisis, and William Rogers. William Rogers of the State Department was part of the policy and planning for Latin America under Henry Kissinger. Now, you know what a success that was. The law firm of the Arnold and Porter began in the 60s to facilitate domestic counterinsurgency and to begin Washington operations, and they combined the law offices of Paul Weiss, Simon Rifkin, Wharton, and Garrison as of 1960. That is the date that I said Robert Mayhew was hired by the CIA to get John Roselli and Sam Giancana involved in the murder that later took place against John Kennedy. We brought the Mafia and the CIA and the FBI into those teams. And Simon Rifkin, who combines law firms with this particular Mr. Rogers, is the man who set up the law office of TMI, or TCI rather, for Otto von Bolschwing, later involved with Helene von Damm, but the network of the Galen Operation Fascista in the United States under the wing of Ronald Reagan and John Paul Getty and the people in the Bay Area that I've talked about in regards to the von Bolschwing scandal. I don't want to go into that too much. They also represent Great America Corporation, and that name ties in heavily to the Kennedy assassination. So the law office of Arnold and Porter, William D. Rogers of the State Department, and Henry Kissinger now literally own Brazil as of the murder of Tancredo Neves, and they will, it doesn't matter whether they bleed or disease, they want the money paid back for the loans they made when they knew they couldn't pay it back. I just wanted to make a few comments that are very, very important on the Ajah case, Mehmet Ali Ajah, that's taking place in Rome, of vital importance, and then go on to part three of Simon Wiesenthal. Several articles I want to cite here. One is psychiatric testing done for Ajah at trial in Rome. They've asked him to undergo psychiatric tests because he has been linking the CIA, Francisco Pazienza, that I talked about, the links to Ronald Reagan and the GOP, of course, but he's getting awfully close to all to touching the bases and throwing in the gray wolves, the Nazis. And Mr. Ajah's trial, according to the New York Times, has been reversed and retracted with his testimony. The reversals created suspicion among people. At one time, they wanted to believe the Soviets and Bulgarians were involved, but people have thought, well, that his testimony was right enough to put a trial together. Now people think the Soviet Union was not involved in the affair. So at this time, when there are reversals in Ajah's opinion, and he said he was trying to get a political solution to the trial and bring in something that makes more sense to what is going on in Rome in the past 4 years, the suggestion was made to give him a mental test. Now, he didn't have a mental test for 4.5 years, and he worked with the chief mafia bosses in the jail cell, even visited with the Pope. Pope came to visit him, and with Francisco Pazienza, such an important man with the P2, the Masonic Lodge, and Licio Gelli, and those connections. But now that he's falling apart, they've decided to give him a mental test. In court last week, he said, "I'm an angel become a man. I'm unique on the planet Earth, a great expert in mankind, 1,000 times more so than Freud and Charles Darwin and others." And he said, "We on planet Earth have to get on with the trial." Well, the trial has been put off. They're going to have a summer vacation. And I assure you that when the summer's over, his brains will be fried or his memory will become clearer, because now they've suggested bringing in the psychs to maybe reinforce some things and tell them what not to forget and what to remember. It'll be interesting to see what happens when the summer vacation comes. But in the meantime, one of the gentlemen, very important, that I'm going to spend hours in the next few weeks of broadcasting about, the connecting link of Ajah's the assassination attempt on the Pope to the P2, the Masonic Lodge, the CIA, that is Bekir Celenk, C-E-L-E-N-K. His first name is B-E-K-I-R. You've heard me mention him before in regards to this case. He was arrested in Turkey in July 13th. Turkey arrests defendant on the trial of the plot to kill the Pope. Authorities announced from Ankara, Turkey, July the 12th, that Celenk, who was being tried in absentia in Italy as a Soviet-sponsored accomplice, was arrested. He's a reputed mobster, and this is out of the Wall Street Journal. I'm reading this. And the charges against him were not specified, but seemed to be drug dealing and smuggling. So gun smuggling and drug dealing, or vice versa, whichever you want. So Selenk was arrested in Turkey July 13th, and he is the important connection because he's wanted for two things. He's wanted for the Banco Ambrosiano for the P2 scandal, and he also is wanted for the Ajan trial as a defendant in Ajan. Ajan connects him with the Bulgarians. Now, he was arrested July 13th, and Reuters had a wire service this week out of the Wall Street Journal again. A Turkish prosecutor today demanded the death penalty on smuggling charges for Bekir Selenk, who's also a defendant in the Rome papal trial. He was indicted of smuggling arms and drugs in a case against him was formerly opened in the law offices. Selenk returned to Turkey 2 weeks ago from Bulgaria. He had been virtually under house arrest. He fled Turkey after the 1980 coup. Now, the Turkish prosecutor, 2 weeks after they had him, want to kill him right away. And by killing Selenk, they break off the links to the Banco Ambrosiano, the P2, the Francesco Pazianza case, to Mr. Marcinkus in the Vatican, the head of the Vatican Bank, and to our Central Intelligence Agency. And then by killing him, they leave unsolved whether he was the Bulgarian in the Pope plot or whether he was a Nazi, part of the Grey Wolf fascist gun running. So within 2 weeks, they want a death penalty, not having murdered anybody in Turkey. Now, the public relations agency for the country of Turkey is Robert Keith Gray, close to William Casey in the CIA. I've talked about the powerhouse, and I'll be doing more of that later, and I've done it before, but our CIA literally is the agent for Turkey, as well as Haiti and Morocco and a lot of other countries. But Casey and the CIA are important in Turkey, as is Robert Keith Gray. So 2 weeks after he was picked up, they want to kill him in the summer interim, I suppose, so he can't continue clearing his name in terms of being a Soviet or Bulgarian. If they kill him, they can let it pass as that. Now, the Washington Post had a story July 20th, Ajan trial adjourned for the summer. That's another one on the mental tests of him. Oh, he says he's Jesus Christ. Now, Mr. Selenk in the Ajan trial has been charged with paying the equivalent of $1.2 million for the assassination. And it's actually the attorney for Mr. Selenk, who's now in Turkey, Mr. Martelli, who's asking for the mental test. I think that if I were working for the defense, I wouldn't ask for the mental test of Ajan. I'd let the burden of the prosecution be on that. That's a mistake. But Martelli asked for it, and the Washington Post says, as I said before, no physical examination was ever given by Ajan, and they never tested his mentality or the things he said, and Ajan is now going to have mental tests in the summer interim. They've declared a recess. Jean said on the stand that before 600 or 700 journalists who came to Rome that he wanted to make some political exploitation of the Soviet Union and Bulgaria. They took home with them the end of the world. The invisible God told me to announce that the world will be destroyed in this generation because of Bulgaria and the Soviet Union. So he's going to have his little test, and Ajan will have a recess, and goodness knows what will happen, or if they will kill him in the meantime. Also, from the Houston Post, there's a story, Italian financier denies involvement in the attack on the Pope. This is Francesco Pazienza, who says he wasn't involved in killing the Pope, which can be absolutely true. He wasn't involved in the attack on the Pope. He was involved in telling Ajan that he could have freedom if he said the Bulgarians did it. And so that he's in New York in jail saying, I didn't plan to kill the Pope, but that's a smokescreen. Think it out. Nobody said he planned to kill the Pope. He sat with Ajan in prison and said, if you give us a Bulgarian Soviet KGB story, I will get you a passport from Muammar Gaddafi, and you'll go out of France, and you will be a free man. Now, that is different than killing. In these assassinations, there are two elements. One is the murder of the person, the planning of the murder. The second is the cover-up. And equally important for the murder is the cover-up, and then to blame always either Russia or the loner, and not to blame the Nazi fascist Central Intelligence, Defense Intelligence that runs this country, that has the technology to influence people to get these lone assassins either dead or to implicate the Soviet Union or to lose their memory and not know why they did what they did. I'll take a one-minute break now. I did want to cover these very, very important stories that aren't separated. The P2 isn't separated from São Paulo, Brazil, and Romeo Tuma from Syria, and the drug traffic into São Paulo and into Brazil. But I'll start now. Simon Wiesenthal, part three, and I think that he's equally as important in understanding how these situations get out of hand.